Let's see what our NHL insider, Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports, thinks about that. Hello, Ren.
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. You're on with Matt Barnaby and myself.
On est bien?
We're oui, good. J'espère, Mathieu, que t'es bien. Content de te retrouver, mon ami.
There we go.
Say his name again. Just say his name again.
Mathieu, but really, it's not Mathieu for him. It's Matthew, because Matthew was born in Elmer, Quebec, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was born in Ottawa, but I moved to Elmer. It was funny, because all my friends used to come watch me play, and if you scored, if I got in a fight, it was penalty, Mathieu. And so everyone would always, all my friends would always call me Mathieu. Yeah.
And I remember you playing in the queue. I was born in Hull, Quebec, so it was fun to see you play. And it was great to see you at the Bob Gertin Arena night after night. It was fun to watch.
Oh, good times, good times.
Ren, I want to talk to you about the Montreal Canadiens and Carey Price and the Canadiens.
Yep.
The conversation around the Canadiens has certainly shifted in the past week. But before that, we talked about some of the things going on with the Maple Leafs here. Kevin McGrann has a story today that Nikita Soshnikov has a clause in his contract that if he's not in the NHL by Tuesday, he is allowed to go back to the KHL. This, of course, comes at a time when, Austin Matthews is hurt, and we don't know how serious it is, but Austin Matthews is out. Patrick Marleau's playing center. Mike Babcock has admitted he's thinking about putting William Nylander at center, but he wants him to get going, and, of course, that has an impact on Tyler Bozak, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Should the Leafs be looking to add a defenseman right now? And what are you hearing around the league about guys that might be available?
Well, you know what? For sure, that's what the Maple Leafs should do. I don't think they're going to be pressured, though, to do it quickly, because they're winning games. You know, they're not in a panic mode right now, which is good to see. But really, when you look at the Vancouver Canucks right now, I know they're winning games, but talking to some people there in the last few weeks, one thing that I noticed is they can't wait to see how that team's going to end the season. Mm-hmm. First of all, are they going to be a contender? Well, maybe not. Are they going to make the playoffs? That's the goal, but there are some D's there that are really interesting for a lot of teams. And, Eric Gergranson is one of them. He was born in Ottawa. He's UFA at the end of the season. I mean, that's the type of defenseman that pretty sure that some people are going to look for by the trading deadline, if he's available or not. And I'm sure that in the Vancouver Canucks' mind, they want to make the playoffs this year, okay? But is it going to happen? That's the big question. It's early in the season, and you have a plan. You need to make sure that the plan is going to work the right way. But are they convinced that they're a playoff team this year? Not sure. Mm. It's like I talked to George McPhee this week at the Bell Center before the game versus the Montreal Canadiens, and had players like James Neal. The fact that this it's a playoff team, was it part of the plan? And he said to me, you know what, Renaud, the plan was simple. We wanted to be a good team. We wanted to give a good show to our fans. But obviously, if they didn't maybe expect to be that good that early. And if James Neal is available at the trading deadline, it will be because the Golden Knights are not a playoff team. But if they are, they're going to have, tough decision to make, because you want to send the right message to your fans. You don't want to be the GM who's trading players right now or maybe in 2 months because you think that you have something really interesting in return that you're not going to get. Maybe at the deadline, you want to send the right signal to the fans. I think that's what people in Vancouver are expecting too, right now. And it's like that for a lot of teams. I really think right now,
I think Rand's line dropped.
No, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear me now?
Yep.
You have to think about Arizona not making the playoffs this year. I think that's a given. And maybe Matthew's not going to be happy with that one, but I don't expect the Buffalo Sabres to make the playoffs either.
I don't expect them either. I think they're a little bit away. They could use a defense. Everyone's looking for defensemen. Buffalo could use about three if they're going to get into the playoffs. They're on the right track. They have some issues, but I agree with you. Some people say Montreal's a tough market. And we were talking off air, and we've talked in the past. I think it's an absolutely incredible market. Now, it takes a certain personality to be able to play there because the temperature is always raised. It's either raised for the good, or it's coming right down your throat because it's a tough one, and you have to be able to live up to expectation. How hot and how high was that that market a few weeks ago?
Oh, really difficult. To be honest, it's been. For one practice, I remember I was looking at the Habs practice in Brossard, in Montreal suburb, and I was like, "Oh, it feels like 2 years ago when Carey Price was injured, and you know there wasn't much left for this team." But that's why they played a game versus the Florida Panthers on a Tuesday night at the Bell Center, and I said, "This is a playoff game for that team. If they're winning that game, it's going to be a different story." And it's exactly what happened. They won six of their last eight games. I mean, they're playing really well right now. Sorry for that.
No problem.
They're playing really well for right now. And obviously, Carey Price is injured. But you have a kid, Charlie Lindgren, who's just unbelievable, guys. You have credit to the Montreal Canadiens management to sign that kid 2 years ago. Because he's, I'm not going to say he's the savior right now, but he's giving Carey Price some time to get back on track, and it's exactly what the team wanted. I'm not saying that, all Montoya is not a good goaltender. He played a good game versus the Jets on Saturday, but he's not a number one. So I think they're giving Charlie Lindgren the net right now. He'll face his childhood team tonight, the Wild. Was born and raised in Minnesota. So for him, it's a big game tonight. And so there's a lot of positive right now. But believe me, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago, it was hell in Montreal.
I'll say it for you. Montoya is not very good.
Montreal is not very good?
No, Montoya. Montoya. Not Montreal. Don't get it started. Jeez.
You know what? Al Montoya is he's first of all, a great teammate. He's a great guy. But saying he's not really good, he's a good backup. It's tough. You're asking him to play once every 2 weeks. It's tough to judge a goaltender when he's playing only once every 2 weeks. No,
it's Well, you're paid to play once every 2 weeks. You got to play better. I think he's okay, and I feel sorry for Beckham. It's a very hard job to do. I will give you that. Again, when you have Carey Price, you expect backups, and the good backups, the Marty Barons would come in that I played with.
Yep.
They came in every second week, and they gave you a chance to win. They have to give you a chance to win. If they don't, that's why guys play. That's why Marty Brodeur played so many darn games, not because he wasn't the best at the time. Your backup doesn't give you the best chance to win, and they have to give you at least a chance to win games. I just don't think Montoya on a regular basis gives them a great chance to win.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's be honest here. For Montreal management, I don't think that
that's not the biggest concern. We have about 30 storylines with this team.
Yeah, and one of the storyline is really Carey Price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for them to now he's injured. He's got a lower body injury. Looks like a right leg injury. He worked on the ice yesterday. He's on the ice right now in Brossard. We don't know yet when he's going to be back in the lineup, but it's not only a question of being back in the lineup. It's the way he's gonna help this team to win games. And right now, it was a real struggle for him since the start of the season. I really think that he played well in Buffalo, game one. Played well 2 weeks ago at home versus the Panthers, but that's only two games, so it's two starts in 11. That's not enough.
Rent, you know, tell me a little bit about Charlie Lindgren, because this guy was undrafted. You mentioned he's from Minnesota. You know, and we saw, I'm not it's not the same thing as Yaro Halak. I know that. But the fact of the matter is, if this guy plays well, if you're the Canadians, maybe that's your guy, your backup to Carey Price. But yeah, I watched a little bit of their last game, and it's not only is he making saves, but the team seems pretty comfortable in front of him. What explains that? Like, what for your mind, what makes that team comfortable playing in front of this guy who, you know, is really an unknown?
I love that question. And if we go back, Jeff, 2 years ago when Carey Price was out, everybody was tough on the players. And they were saying that there was no leadership, that they were playing bad. Well, Matthew played the game for a long time. When your goaltender is not making saves, you're not playing the same way. Am I wrong,
no,
Matthew?
No, 100%. You don't play four guys. It's just subconsciously you play different. You play more defensive. You might not go. You might not take chances that you normally would, or you might take chances. It's just a subconscious that sets in.
And that's the problem with Carey Price this season is, you know, they want Carey to win games. Carey wants to win badly. It's not working for him. So everybody was, playing the wrong way. Now with Charlie Lindgren, he arrived there, played a huge game in Chicago on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a key win for that team. They didn't win in Chicago since 2002. And Stéphane Quintal scored that winning goal that night. And Michel Therrien was there for his first, moment with the Montreal Canadiens. So you look at that win, and if you talk to players who played with Charlie in St. John's last year in the minors, they're all going to say the same thing. When Charlie is in the net, we know we have full confidence, and we play with confidence when he's in net. It's totally different. And now we're sending the same message to his new teammates in Montreal. Is it going to stay that way? He's 5-0 already in the NHL. Never allowed 3 goals in a game in the NHL. He's not the savior, but if he's giving his team a chance to win a game, that's the only thing that the players are really asking right now. And now, like I said earlier, he's going to play the Wild tonight. It's his childhood team. He had season tickets to see the Wild in St. Paul when he was younger. He was at their development camp 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, wasn't signed by them. So there's a love affair between the Lindgren family and the Wild. So tonight you have to expect that even if he never played for that team, there'll be some money on board to make sure that, you know what, maybe it's going to be only $500, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a big moment for him and his family.
Hopefully it's American.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully.
You talked about the win over Chicago, and we've got the game tonight against Minnesota. Of course, the Leafs on Minnesota. I want to ask both you guys, because I know, Matt, before we came in the air, we were raving about how good Tampa is and everything. On the flip side, and I know that it's, you know, we're 15 games in the season, but Chicago is 7-6-2. Minnesota's 5-7-2. They're holding down the bottom of the Western Division. What is going on in those two cities? And you know, we see now that, and especially Chicago, I'm interested as a Blackhawks fan, I'm especially interested in this. We see now that, you know, Joel Quenneville saying he's going to reunite Kane and Taves. Are those two teams legitimately in trouble? And I'll ask both you guys. Chicago really intrigues me as well, because they've been really good this year. I mean, their goal differential is +7, but they've been games where they've been just off.
Yeah, but they won the first game of the year against Pittsburgh 10-1. That's a little
okay. So there's your goal differential.
There's your goal differential right there.
But they've had games, guys, where they've been awful, and they look old.
That's the thing. You just said it. Especially the Blackhawks. I mean, I'm a Duncan Keith fan. I'm a huge Duncan Keith fan, to be honest with you. But I don't see the same defenseman this season. He's 34 years old, but he played so much that I wonder about his body right now. Is he capable of playing 82 games? The real answer is yes. But can he play at the level that he was before? And if he's playing at the level that he was before, a defenseman like him change everything. But I don't see that right now. And Corey Crawford is really, really good. So there's something missing. And I feel like that those D's are getting older. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Matthew, about you, but for me, that's the big difference.
I totally agree. And I'd love to put up a different argument and say that I believe in them. I just don't in watching them. I don't. They've played a lot of hockey, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is we were talking about this being a destiny team, and they very well, I mean, with three Stanley Cups in 6 years that they had, it's still a sort of destiny team. But I'm with you. I was with Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook when they came in as rookies. I played with them, and I knew they were going to be stars, and even more importantly, better kids at the time. They've grown into great role models and great people, but it's an older team that has played a lot of hockey, and a lot of those guys have went through a lot of injuries. But when you play that many games, that many years, you almost start to try to cruise through the regular season and try to turn it up a notch in the playoffs. And we all buy in when they get in. Okay, it's the Blackhawks of old. It isn't the Blackhawks of old. It's the old Blackhawks.
You know, if you
go ahead. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what I feel, honestly. And you have to look at the Minnesota Wild and. In a way, you have to think the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of pressure right now on Eric Staal. It shouldn't be that way. Zach Parise is injured. I understand that. But Eric Staal shouldn't be, at this stage of his career, the guy. He looks they're playing a lot of Eric Staal, and I think it's too much to handle for him right now. If he's a third liner playing on the second wave of the power play, no problem with that, but he can't play 16, 17, 18 minutes.
To your point, he played 20. He played almost 21 minutes last night. Eric Staal against the Leafs.
Comes back to slotting. When you're not slotted the right way and you're put in a position, you're going to fail. Your team's just not that good. Again, it goes back to Nazem Kadri. If he's your number one center, you're not a very good team. If he's your number two, you're very good. You can have a viable offense.
So Ren, bringing it back to Chicago a little bit, what do the Hawks do here? I mean, they've got a lot of big tickets. It's going to be hard to move those guys. I'm just looking at, you know, to your point about Duncan Keith. Duncan Keith has played an extra season and a half when you factor in the playoffs, never mind Team Canada and all that stuff. Yeah. And Jonathan Toews is about the same, an extra season and a half. So what do the Blackhawks do here? Because you're not going to be able to find a buyer for some of those big tickets, I wouldn't think.
No, good thing that Mario Nolsa is off the cap, though.
And
you know, that in a way helps, really helps. And if I'm an NHL team, I'm really upset about that, by the way. Why giving the Blackhawks any chance? And because of the way the CBA is written, they have a chance to survive this season because of that. So that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go and trying to find help, especially on defense. It's going to happen at one point. Who is it going to be? That's a great question right now. But there's full of defensemen who are going to be available in maybe a month or two. That's the way I see it. But is it going to be a stud? Is it going to be a big guy? Is it going to cost them another first rounder? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Or do they have to think about the future a little bit more? I wonder. Honestly, it's going to depend the way they're. I guess they're going to turn the corner. Honestly, they're better than that.
Yeah.
So they're going to wait. I don't think they're in a panic mode, but something needs to happen. And like Matthew said, when you're getting older, the first thing that you notice with some players is they're not really interested in playing the regular season games.
Mm-hmm. It's like NBA players. Let's just get to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, but you need to go. It's a tough league, the NHL. It's getting tougher and tougher. And we're talking about the Blackhawks here, and we have to wonder what's going to happen. They're better than that. So are they going to make a move soon? I don't think so. But something needs to happen sooner than later, and I don't expect them to give a really good player in return. I do expect that they're going to go to Vegas and trade for a D and give draft picks. There's teams like Vegas, that's what they want, and I guess that's what they're going to get.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'll ask both of you guys this, because we know that Joel Quenneville has, he's been there for a long time. He's won Stanley Cups. There's always been stories that there's been tension between him and the front office over a variety of things.
At what point do people start looking at Joel Quenneville and just wondering whether or not it's time for a different voice to be in that dressing room? I mean, I hate to say it again, as a Blackhawks fan, this guy's brought me more happiness in the past 5 years than in the first 55 years of my life. But at some point, you got to ask the question, don't you?
Yes, but honestly, is he really the problem? I don't believe so. I don't think that Joel Quenneville is the problem right now. And if you let go a guy like him, so that means you're going to get a better coach. Mm. Is there a better coach than Joel Quenneville available right now? Mathieu played the game a long time. Maybe they need another voice. It's not about who's the coach. It's more what kind of messages send. And you have to wonder, Mathieu, if really that's the way Stan Bowman should take. I don't imagine Stan Bowman making a move like that.
I don't think so. And I was with Stan last year in Chicago for a little bit for a camp. We didn't talk about that at all. We barely talked about the Hawks. It was actually right before they traded Panarin. But I don't. You always try to think: is there a better coach out there that I can replace him with? And if there is, then that's kind of how you make your deals. Or if your team goes, sometimes you just need a new voice. I don't think they're even close or considering that. He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's well liked. His tension, I've heard the same thing along the way. At the end of the day, this team just has to play better, and they might need a move on the back end. It's hard. Everyone wants to make a move on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that
Toronto
happening.
Toronto wants to make a move.
Buffalo wants to. Everyone wants some more defensemen. It's not the same team. It's a little older team, and there's no Johnny Oduya. There's no Jarmelson. Those guys were important pieces to those very successful. That's why their top four was so darn good. You never saw the fifth and sixth defensemen.
No,
they were never
true.
Rolled out there. Now you're seeing your 3 and 4, which would have been their 5 and 6.
Hjalmarsson was a guy that never, I thought, never got the credit he deserved for the amount of ice time he logged, but also the significant minutes.
When they signed him to that contract, I think it was like $3.5 or $4 million. I remember talking to Scotty Bowman, and he goes, "We had to. If we weren't going to pay him, someone else was, and we are not the same team if he leaves us." And he lived up to those numbers every bit. A big reason why they won those cups. But it was Seabrook and Taves and Kane and Duncan Keith that got all the value. But it's not the same team.
Yeah.
They're getting older, that's for sure. They played a lot of hockey games, big games, like you said, in the playoffs, the World Cup. Not only the World Cup, the Olympics. I mean, those guys were everywhere. And they played way too much. And I feel like right now, everything is a grind for them. So are they capable of turning the corner? Yes, they are, for sure. They have everything that a coach dreams to have. But it's going to take a lot of will, I think, for them to do that. It's going to happen, but they need to find a way quickly.